But Acts chapter 14, and the name of this message today is called Perfect Power. And a lot of people, we really believe in this church in the power of signs and wonders. Okay? And so I'm going to share this word about Paul, and starting in verse 8 of chapter 14. We really believe in the power of God and signs and wonders. And so whenever I see the miracles in the scripture, it's not there just to like, wow, look what Paul did. But it's also, wow, look what I could do if I believe like Paul believed. Because that's what they're there for. They're there to encourage us. Not just to say, oh, wasn't Paul a great man? And you'll see this, what I mean by this. So perfect power. So Holy Spirit, we're asking you to show us and lead us and guide us as we teach today, as we share the word of the Lord. Let it come forth in power in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, verse 8. Now at Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth. He never walked. He listened to Paul preaching, and Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said, now Paul said this in a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. In the middle of his message. Yeah, loud voice. And he sprang up and began walking. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Lycaonian, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And so they started having a party with their gods, right? And they said, Zeus must be here and Hermes must be here. Look at this healing. And then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance of the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, and they wanted to sacrifice to the crowds. They were going to have a big party and a meal, right? But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments. They rushed out into the crowd, and they cried out, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men, just like you. Just like you. And we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain gods, right? To the living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without a witness, for he did good by giving you rain from heaven and fruit, satisfying your hearts with good and gladness. And even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering up sacrifices to them, treating them like gods, right? Movie stars, right? That's what we do to movie stars. We try to treat them like they're, you know, big shots. Paul's like, we're not movie stars. We're not superstars. We're just like you. Don't do this. Even though God did this great thing. Now, how many of you know that the story doesn't end here? It doesn't end here. And this is what happens too many times, I think, when we preach the gospel, we stop the story too soon. So turn to your neighbor and say, don't stop this story. It's not over yet. It's not over. Yeah. I know some people that tried to stop your story. Heather, your story's not over yet. Your story's not yet. No one's going to stop your story. Come on now. It's going to come to exactly where God wants it to go. Amen. Amen? Amen? I believe in God. I'm going to dance. We're going to see God do it. And you know I can't dance, but I like to dance. Rejoice for the Lord. Now, look, the story is not over yet. And I want you to see this because it's so important. Because this story actually has two miracles, but most preachers only preach the first miracle. But I want you to know the second miracle is more important than the first miracle. What's the second miracle? We'll find out. Whoa. So the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul. No, Paul didn't get stoned. They stoned Paul. The other way around. Some people said he attended a rock concert and the rocks were flying at him. Okay? Yeah. So this is not the kind of thing that is happy. These are big rocks, killer rocks. They dragged him out of the city, supposing that he had died. In other words, he was dead. He looked dead. He acted dead. He was dead, yes. But when the disciples gathered about Paul, he got up and entered the city, and on the next day, he went on to Barnabas and went on to what God had for him to do. See, the second miracle, in my opinion, is just as important, if not more important, than the first miracle. And too many times we stop at the first miracle and say, wow, didn't God do this? By faith, by faith, by faith, that man that never walked got up and did a jig for God. He never walked his entire life. He got up and walked. And, you know, here's the thing that's interesting. It says that Paul saw that the man had faith to be healed. Now, that is a translator's choice, because the word there for healing is the same word for saved. It's the same exact word. So you could just as easily say the man had faith to be saved. And you see, we as Christians were given the grace in our generation to understand that salvation is very, very important. But salvation includes healing. So that when you have faith to be saved, you also have faith to be healed. You cannot separate the two. If you believe in Jesus, you've got what it takes to be healed. And if you get healed, that means that you have faith in Jesus, because it's your faith that we are saved. It is not of ourselves. It is a gift from the Lord that we have anything to boast about. The faith that you have is a gift from God. The faith that you have from to believe in Jesus. And he saw this man, said, hey, this man is getting it. This man is getting it. I'm talking about Jesus, and something is changing inside of him. I can tell. I can tell. So at that point, he saw this man was falling in love with Jesus, and he said, now get up. Get up. You've got faith. Now do what God's called you to do. Don't be a cripple anymore, even though you've been called a cripple. Even though you're from the very time you were born, people, you've never seen the ability to walk. It's time to start walking again. And you see, this is the key to everything. It's faith in Jesus. It's in faith in Jesus. By Jesus Christ, it says we can do anything. Even the supernatural, even things that we cannot do ourselves, we can do through Christ. Through Christ. Amen. He was healed after Paul spoke. They tore their garments and ran into the crowd. And this is the second thing that's so important. Tim talked about this. He talked about this. He said, my grace is made perfect in weakness. You see, Paul was not a superstar. He wasn't meant to be a superstar in the eyes of man. He was a superstar in the eyes of his father. But Paul wanted to come to you and wanted to present himself in weakness. And so here you have the man who released a healing miracle that got the crowds wanting to treat him like a superstar, like a god, and yet he didn't want to have that place. And then God took him to a place of suffering. He said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." And here we have, right here, the example of what that means. My strength shall be made perfect in your weakness. Well, what was Paul's weakness? He hurt when people threw rocks at him. That was his weakness. His weakness was that when he got up to preach, there were other people that were out to get him. His weakness was that when the rock was thrown at him, it hurt. And everything that we do for God, we do in weakness. Everything that we do for God, we do in our humanity. Everything that we do for God, we do not knowing all the answers, not having the right thing to say all the time, not always having enough money in our pocket, not always feeling the best all the time. There are times when we minister powerfully when we ourselves are running. Yeah. God's power is made perfect when the rocks are flying. Because what we saw here wasn't just a miracle of healing with Paul. What did we see? A miracle of resurrection. And I believe for anybody that's willing to say, "Jesus, I want to serve you," you're going to find yourself in places where God is just going to have to raise you from the dead. Because you just don't have anything. I mean, just saying physically or mentally or just whatever. You've just given and given and given. And it's like, "God, you've just got to do this for me. If you don't give me what I need, I won't have it." Yeah. It's like the guy that came to the end of his rope and he asked the Lord what to do. And the Lord said, "Let go. I got this." Sometimes I'm telling you, I wish I could say to you that my story was the first half of this story all the time. But guess what? I've been through my rock concerts. I've been through times when people weren't throwing physical rocks, but they were throwing plenty of stuff. Okay? And no, I wasn't feeling it. Nobody was going to sacrifice an ox to me at the time. Okay? I wasn't being called Zeus. I was being called some other names. You see what I'm saying? So God wants us to glory in our weakness. He wants us to rejoice in what we don't have. Now, I want you to go here to Acts chapter 18. I'm not going to keep you long because so much has happened. But I want you to see Acts chapter 18, and then we're going to wrap it up. Acts chapter 18 is the story of Paul coming to Corinth. So Paul left Athens in verse 1 and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently coming from Italy, and his wife, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, what did he do? The guy made tents, right? And he was of the same trade, and he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. Do you notice in verse 4, it says he tried? Does it say that he persuaded anybody? No. It just says he tried. But he stepped up to the plate. Now, I want to just give you something really key here, some context. When Paul went to Corinth, he went as a complete failure. Because he had been to Athens and he preached in Athens, right? The center of the Greek Empire with all the smarties and all the educated people. And not a single one of them accepted his words. They called him a seed picker. They called him basically a country bumpkin. You're some kind of country boy coming here. We got no use for you. And he spent all his time there in Athens. And he's been chased, by the way, chased and persecuted all the way up to this point. He comes to Corinth and he just goes and makes tents with a couple that he met. It doesn't really talk about him going there in a great deal of a power, right? He's just working a job. You hear me? He's working a job and going to the synagogue and just sharing. He is not acting like the Apostle Paul, holding great revival meetings with lots of miracles. It's not happening there. And so while he's there, he gets finally encouragement from his buddies Silas and Timothy. They come there and he basically said to the people in the synagogue, look, I've had it with you guys. So he leaves the synagogue, right? And gives up on them. He's got nowhere to preach now. He shook out his garment. He was a complete failure in Corinth. There's the weakness. See that? The hardest thing about praying for somebody to get healed is when they don't get healed. To me, that's the hardest thing. Because it makes you want to just quit. I know this one pastor, last month. He said their church made a decision to pray for anybody that was sick. And they prayed for a year before they saw any healings. Then all of a sudden, the healing started coming. Now, what was God doing during that time? Something wrong with the Bible? Were they not saying the right words? Nah. But there's something about our humanity, and there's something about us that God wants to get a hold of through weakness when we don't do things right. And we're trying, but we're not succeeding in our own eyes. And so Paul comes here and fails. He fails at winning a single convert in the synagogue. He leaves them and he goes, hangs out with this Titus Justus dude, Titius actually, in verse 7. His house was next door to the synagogue. And they got one guy to believe, Crispus. Great name. One family believes. And look what God tells him. Now, I want you to see this. The Lord said to Paul one night in the vision, verse 9, don't be afraid, but keep speaking and don't shut your mouth. You've seen a total mess so far here. You got one convert, the great Apostle Paul. No miracles. Don't be quiet, Paul. What does he say? I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city. Now we think, oh, the Apostle Paul, man, he never had to deal with fear. Come on. The Lord says, don't be afraid. Amen. Don't be afraid, Paul, because everywhere he went, he was chased out of town. Every place, without exception, because of what God was doing in his life. And this is the first place he stayed for a year and a half. Up to that point, he was on the run completely. This explains this scripture I want to read to you. I want to close. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. He says, when I came to you, Corinthians, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Remember, he came from Athens, the smartest people in the world. Remember? He failed. He says, I didn't come with lofty speech and wisdom. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified in His weakness. See, it's the weakness of God that can whoop the strongest devil. Now, I used to play a lot of tennis, and I used to hate these tennis players that were so good that they could whoop my tail even when they weren't playing with their right hand. They were the worst ones. They were just messing with you. In their weakness, they were whooping you. And then when they just played normally, it was like, okay, I'm stopping. It's not worth it. Well, that's what God did in Jesus. God whooped. He said, I'm going to take the weakest situation that a person could ever be in, and I'm going to whoop the devil. Watch this. So what did He do to Jesus? He said, my son, I want you to go down there, and I want you to completely be a man in every way without sin. So Jesus got thirsty. He got hungry. He's the Son of God, man, living in a palace in heaven. He got hungry. He got thirsty. He got tired. Then He got beaten. He got whooped with a cat of nine's tail. Then they beat Him with their fists. They pulled out His beard and hair. And then they nailed Him to the cross. And then while on the cross, right, our sin gets put on Him. How weak can you get than that? How much more pain can you have when He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He didn't do anything wrong. To me, the hardest kind of pain is when you're innocent and people are whooping on you. That's the hardest kind of suffering. And I could say with confidence that no one suffered more than Jesus. He did that day. He died of a broken heart. And yet, in the weakest time, that's when He beat the devil. Because our God's an awesome God. Amen. And we don't have to be Superman to whoop the Avengers. You know what I mean? We don't have to be this awesome, you know what I mean? Because in our lowest of low of low of low times, God has made a provision for you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God knows how to heal you. And the Apostle Paul was sitting a heap, a bloody heap, and those disciples in faith gathered round him and did a greater miracle than what Paul did. Because they believed God for that man. And that's why Paul was able to make it to Corinth. Quit. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 2. It says this, and this, he's not kidding. He says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. He wasn't just saying it. He was messed up. He was. And look what God did. Look what God can do with you. I don't see anybody shaking here right now. But I bet there are times when maybe you've been that kind of weak, maybe. That kind of scared. I've never been stoned like that, okay? I've never been drugged out of town, left for dead. I've never needed a group of disciples to pray for me to resurrect me. But I've been through some stuff. And God is not looking for the next superstar God to come on the scene. He's looking for people that are willing to receive his love and his grace at their lowest point.